American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, February 13th, Friday the 13th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. It's Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm scared now.
Are you scared?
I am. I've been scared all day.
Have you? Was it? Did anything?
No, nothing ever does. But just the same, you know, I hear about these things and I believe it because I hear about them. So.
Yeah. See any black cats today, Al?
No, I can't say that. Not solidly black. Seeing some that are mostly black, but not completely black. I don't know if the cat's mixed up a little bit, mostly black. Does that count? Is that still a black cat, or is that a
good? I don't know. I don't take any chance. Uh-huh. I don't take any chances. Today, gold didn't take any chances. It was up 640 today, 640 off the high on the day, and 1229. You have silver up 43 at $17.37. Platinum was up $8 at $12.10, and palladium was up $16 at $794. And the USDX today was trading down slightly, 0.09 at $94.13. Crude oil back up over 50 by a ways, 1.37 to the upside, 52.58. And the paper markets today, I know a lot of these markets hit their highs. It's official, new record for the S&P 500, and the Dow rose over 46 points to close above the 18,000 level, and you have the NASDAQ at a 15-year high, so bring out your pom-poms and say a cheer, and if you're making profits, you better sell and get it while you can. It'd be a great time to offset some of that paper investments that you're making. Take a little profit off the table, folks. That's how you increase your investments. And so let's go ahead and see exactly where we're at on the markets. They just changed I mentioned this last week where they changed my whole design of the website, and it's even worse today than it was then. The Dow up 46 points at 18,019 on the close. The NASDAQ up 36 at 4,893. The S&P up 8 at 2,096. 2-year yield, of course, with these numbers are up 2.02%, up 0.04. And I really would think with all these high levels on the paper markets, the 10-year would have risen a little bit higher, but it didn't. But it's still at 2.02%. And the euro is 1.14, so a little bit of strength in that euro. Not a lot, but it's up. And foreign markets overnight were all pretty much positive. Japan was down a little bit. Hong Kong was up over, the Hang Seng was up over 1%. And both the FTSE and Germany was higher. And I guess now since Draghi is putting in all those, all that stimulus into Europe, I saw a report earlier today that, hey, Europe is turning around. And it's just like, you know, do people really believe all this stuff?
Yep.
I mean, it's yeah, I know they do, but it's really, I mean.
What can I tell you?
I mean, do they really believe it, or they believe it because this is what they, this is their living that they make?
I don't know.
They have
it's not so much that people believe it, they don't even
care.
They don't really even
care. I guess they
don't. I think that's part of it. I think part of the problem we have is that people have, at least some people, we've heard that the government is supplying false numbers, economic indicators. All right? After a while, you get to a point where, what does it mean? You know, it's like you're dealing with a pathological liar. And what are they going to give you today? And the government said, you know, the unemployment rate was such and such, or that the CPI was some, I'll believe that. You know, I don't know. Sometimes you can't blame people for going back to Dancing with the Stars. You know, at least something semi-honest takes place there. People dance, they don't dance, you know, they do well, they don't do well. You can see something that's real there. Even if it's frivolous, you can see something that's real. And for a lot of people, I think that's, you know, maybe a good thing. Maybe they like that. I don't know. We don't know.
Dancing with the Stars or The Walking Dead, pick your choice, or sports. I guess, you know, they do have to escape, and it is a way of not having to come to terms with what's really going on. And hey, as long as it doesn't invade their private little life, although they don't realize every day it invades their life, they just.
Yeah, but the thing, the people, everyone, every one of us still has a fundamental problem. And some of us try to stay informed. For example, we're obligated to try to do so as part of doing this program. But you wonder, you know. How do you know for sure if you're getting straight information anymore? It's very difficult. It's the sort of thing where you sit back and, I don't know, it's frustrating, it's bewildering, it's one of those things where you wish someone would treat you like an adult. You know, we get that scene from, I don't remember, Tom Cruise movie, and General or Colonel, whatever his name was, and he said, "The truth, you can't handle the truth." You know, maybe we can. What would be so bad? Let's try. How about that, Mr. Obama? How about you tell us the truth once in a while? Not just once in a while. How about you tell us the truth all the time? And forget this business about people might panic or people can't handle the truth. Maybe we can handle the truth. And maybe what we can't handle is persistent liars. Maybe that's the real problem. The lies, you can't handle the lies. In the final analysis, that may be the truth of the matter. And that's where we're headed. That's the problem from my perspective, at least. We've been fed so many lies that we're off course. We are like a ship headed for an iceberg. We're supposed to be getting away from the iceberg. We're going at the iceberg, and the captain is assuring us that, you know, we'll be able to swim alongside the ship here in just a little while. Put on your bathing suit. It won't be cold or whatever. We'll go water skiing, maybe. Maybe it's the lies that we can't handle, because sooner or later they will come back to bite us, and bite us big time. So.
And you know what people mentioned to me, you know, when you're trying to, you know, talk about the markets and so forth, and they say you can't deny the fact that, you know, here you have 18,000 on the Dow, record for the S&P, the NASDAQ is almost back to 5,000. But yet they don't understand the reality of it all and what really made that rise. It wasn't for good fundamental reasons. I would love to be able to buy into a paper investment and live off the dividends and have money in the bank and get, you know, a nice return interest. So, you know, your money is safe and, you know, when you're ready to retire, you know, you have a nice, hey, that'd be great.
Well,
you know, I wish our economy was like, pardon?
It was that way for at least part of our lifetime.
I get that, and that's my point. It's not that I live on gloom and doom, and then I only look for bad news in order to sell gold. But you have to look for the truth.
Yeah, I know.
And the fundamentals on all these world stock markets, what is it based on? What is it based on? It is nothing but debt. It is nothing from the Federal Reserve, the central banks around the world, and they know what to do. The central banks are smart enough to know what to do. They're out there buying gold. This is from even Bloomberg. Now, I've read Bloomberg. Lots of times they'll put out false reports and so forth. I get that. But this report was based on the World Gold Council, and I've even saw some of their reports that, you know, it could be a little wavy and so forth, but you put the two of them together, and the central banks purchased enough gold in 2014 to buy 75 Boeing Dreamliners, is how the article starts out. The governments added 477.2 metric tons to their reserves. This is the second biggest increase in 50 years. And yeah. 17% more than a year earlier. And this was a report out yesterday. And what are the people doing? They're out there doing everything but. And you
without recognizing the potential significance, why are the banks buying that much gold?
They've added to their gold reserves for the past 5 years. And we know prior to that, they had a lot, you know, 20 years of selling gold since the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Purchases will be made at least 400 tons this year, according to estimates from the London-based Council, which represents 17 gold producers. There's a lot of scope for emerging market central banks to expand their holdings, as these are still significantly underweight. And we also know that Russia was the biggest buyer of gold, and that's been, I've read that from various reports. Russia was the biggest buyer of gold, while Ukraine sold the most, as the situation between... Yeah.
Those guys just can't win in Ukraine.
Well,
you know?
They sold the most or was stolen from them or taken
them, partly.
You know, that's...
The States came in right away to help. Well, we'll protect your gold. Here, load it up onto our airplanes, and we're going to protect your gold. You can trust us.
You're from the government.
Ask Germany. You can trust us. You know, we know how to store gold properly. You know, it reminds me of a story I think I've told here on the radio program at least once before. Some guy was advertising that he had a system that he would guarantee that your money would not fall into the hands of the Internal Revenue Service. He had a legal system, and he had seminars down in the Bahamas, and people paid quite a lot of money to attend the seminars, and then they signed up for whatever this program was, where he would guarantee that if you put your money in his offshore bank, the IRS would never lay hands on it. And sure enough, the IRS never did lay hands on it, because he just stole all the accounts, and he took off. And the people didn't lose their money to the IRS, they lost it to him. So, I don't know. It reminds me of some of these other people promising to help you, and in the end, not.
And we certainly know our government when they come to you and say, we're from the government and we're here to help. Certainly want to run the other way. But we know Russia's gold stockpile has grown to the biggest since at least 1993. after purchases topped 173 tons last year. And, of course, they've been buying the metal to diversify its foreign reserves and solve their problems that are related to their ruble liquidity. And gold accounts for about 12% of its total foreign reserves, although that's still less than the U.S. and Germany, which, you know, are the biggest holders. And Ukraine sold about 19 tons. Or, you know, whoever happened to it, disappeared. They had 19 tons of gold disappear.
Yep.
And while you have a...
That means some of the leaders, that means everybody got their hand in that particular pie. Everybody was connected.
You know. Iraq is buying. So, you know, the world central banks are buying. The metal has climbed about 3.33% this year. And... countries have bought 1,964 tons of gold over the past 5 years, and that equals to more than 7 months of the mine output. And again, they are seeking, as your question, to answer your question earlier, they're seeking an alternative to currencies.
Well, you know, if it's raw, if gold is up 3.5%, and we could say we're not to the end of February, but we could say in the first 2 months of the year, just for fun. That translates into about 18-20% for the year. If that same average continued, it's, you know, 18-20% for the year. No guarantee that's going to happen, but at least it's interesting. The main point is the central banks make fiat currencies. And when they start buying gold, this is a little bit like the president of Coca-Cola being caught drinking a case. He's got a case of Pepsi around his house, you know. It indicates that the bankers are not convinced that their own fiat currency is going to be such a great investment. They recognize the price of gold is going to go up significantly in the foreseeable future, and they're getting it while they can. And if the central banks, who have reason to disparage gold in order to maintain, say, oh no, you want paper dollars, that's where you want to put your money, into paper dollars or paper euros or whatever, they have reason to be. They are competitors with gold. And yet, if they're buying gold at the end, at the fastest rate, did you say in 50 years?
Yes.
I mean, that indicates something. This can't be just a whim. This isn't just a whim. Somebody is buying more gold than they've bought in the last 50 years, the banks, central banks. That suggests, look, we're on the edge of some sort of a significant change, or at least they think we're going to see one in the near future. That's the implication. Nobody knows what's absolutely going to happen, but, you know, you got to look at these things and think about them, and if you do, especially if you consider this for a while, you know, we can see gold goes up and gold goes down and the rest of it. But as a long-term investment, I don't think anyone in this audience can suggest an alternative that's superior to gold. You might be able to point to something that for a year might do better than gold. What's going to do better than gold over the course of the next 10 years? Anybody got an answer to that? Anybody point to stocks or bonds or whatever with the same level of confidence that you could have in gold? And I don't believe that's out there. I don't think it's out there. Is there an opportunity right now to jump on the stock markets? Get in, get out, make a fast buck. Yeah, it's probably there. No question about it. And if you're a speculator, that may be where you want to go. But if you're an investor and you're actually looking for something that's going to proceed, that's going to protect whatever wealth you have right now, and it's going to protect it over the course of, let's say, the next 5 years or 10 years, investing, not speculating, investing, can you name another investment where you think you can reasonably have more confidence in that investment, not speculation, investment? Got one that's that inspires more confidence than gold? I don't think it's out there. I don't think, if it is, it can't be perceived at this time. It may be that over the course of the next 10 years, something strange is going to happen, and who knows, we may see something unexpected, but it will be unexpected. All right? It might be gold, might not be number one, might be number two. And they'd be the number three. But it's going to be better than most anything else you can point to at this time.
Earlier this week, I was looking at the Fear and Greed Index. It was like about, that was about neutral. It was about 56. That popped to this week, today, it popped it all the way to 73. So it's all greed in these markets. And certainly no fear. Yeah,
I understand that. I understand. It's you know, it's you can't complain about it on one level. I mean, you got to just, well, what the heck? Maybe the economy's going to pick up and it'd be good for everyone. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I still look at the fundamentals. What I perceive as the fundamentals, number one is the debt is too great to ever be repaid. Number two, for every dollar in debt, there's a dollar's worth of paper assets sitting out there. If we get to the point where we admit we can't pay the debt, and I think we have to, we're going to have to admit that those paper assets aren't worth anything. There's the big problem. When is it going to happen? Next month? A year from now? You know, who knows? When are the next bunch of commercials going to happen? Melody, do you know that? Right now?
Right now.
Right now. All right. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Here we are on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And I think I've found a new motto. That's The lies, you can't handle the lies. Mm-hmm. You think you can for a while, but they're going to catch up with all of us, and we're going to have a problem with it. You need the truth. What do we got, Melody? What's next?
Obama and amnesty. We talked earlier in this week about how they're going to get some earned income credits that they can.
They're going to have earned
income credits. They're just getting everything.
They're setting up a hotline.
A hotline?
Hotlines. If you break across the border and enter the country illegally,
They
can have hotlines where
you can
call
complain.
In and tell the government about your experience. Were people unkind to you just because you're here illegally? I mean, it's like me going ahead and breaking into somebody's house and then saying, I need a hotline. This guy's threatening to shoot me because I broke into his house. And we need to be a place where we can complain about being shot when we break into other people's homes. That's what's going on here. Here's an article from the Washington Times. This is another one. Obama amnesty creates a loophole for illegal immigrants to vote in elections. President Obama's temporary deportation amnesty will make it easier for illegal immigrants to improperly register and vote in elections. This is from state election officials, and they're testifying to Congress yesterday. They're saying that the driver's license and Social Security numbers that will be granted to the illegal aliens, they can have a driver's license, give them a Social Security number, this is going to create a major voting loophole. While stressing that it remains illegal for non-citizens to vote, secretaries of state from Ohio and Kansas said they won't have the tools to sniff out illegal immigrants who register anyway, ignoring stiff penalties to fill out the registration forms that are easily available at shopping malls, motor vehicle bureaus, and curbside registration drives. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach said even some motor vehicle bureau workers automatically ask customers if they want to register to vote, which some non-citizens in the past have cited as a reason for breaking the law to register. I guarantee it will happen, Mr. Kobach said. So here we have President Obama with a plan to help the poor, downtrodden, illegal immigrants, that is to say illegal, as in criminal, as in ill. Did I use the word illegal, Melody?
I believe you did.
Well, let's say it one more time. They are illegal, and the government is helping them. Our government is encouraging them. Oh, you want to vote? Sure. Bring you. Come on, all you Mexicans, come on up here. Move into wherever you want to move into, and when there's enough of you there, you can vote to take over the government. All right? I'm talking about a city government, a county government, whatever. And it doesn't matter whether you're actually a Mexican citizen or not. We're going to let you vote in this country. And here's another one. Washington Times again. Department of Homeland Security creates path to citizenship for dreamers. The Obama administration quietly told Congress this week that its deportation amnesty programs will, in fact, include a pathway to citizenship. Now, this according to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte, who said that breaks a promise Obama made to the country when he announced the program. All right, we're going to have this amnesty program, but we're not going to give him citizenship. Oh, yeah, he is. It turns out he's going to give him citizenship and a welcome wagon when they come across the border and a hotline for telephone calls and tax advantages. And what else? They'll be able to vote. That won't be legal, but they'll be able to do it. What does illegality have to do with our president? What does illegality have to do with our Congress and our Senate and our courts? Who gives a damn? Who cares if this country is a bunch of damn criminals? The government of this country. And if the worst of the pop and the rest of the population follows along, why not? There is something that is just so wrong about this that is just appalling. And my complaint is not with the illegal aliens, per se. I don't want them here, but they're not the problem. The problem is all the gangsters in Washington, D.C., who don't understand that they have an obligation to protect our borders. They're wasting their time sending troops over to the Middle East. It's not our problem. Our first problem is to protect this country. And that's what government should be doing. This, oh, well, I don't know. We can't get to that right now. So we have a path to citizenship for dreamers. A conference call with congressional staffers, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, said it would allow so-called dreamers applying for their deportation amnesty, known as DACA or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, to also apply for advanced parole, which is a separate program that also serves as a shortcut to a green card, which is a key step on the path to citizenship. In a letter to Homeland Security, Judge Johnson, Mr. Goodlatte demanded that he put an end, Homeland Security, put an end to the new program, which could open an avenue for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants to bypass regular rules and gain citizenship, which carries voting rights and eligibility for taxpayer-funded benefits. We're going to let illegals come into this place and then vote on whether they want more benefits. What do you think is going to happen? And if you talk to Obama or any other idiot in this government who is, they're going to say, oh, it's an accident. It's an unforeseen circumstance. They're putting up hotlines for these people. We reported on it, I think, on Wednesday. They are giving them tax advantages. I think that we reported that on Wednesday. And now they're creating circumstances where they can vote even though they're illegal. And though they enter the country illegally, they can gain citizenship through President Johnson or Obama's new program, amnesty program. It'll give them a faster opportunity to citizenship and voting. And gee, isn't that wonderful? We're going to all be dancing around our hats singing La Cucaracha. Right? And the government says this is a wonderful thing, but I'll tell you what they're doing. And I've said it before. They want the Mexicans to invade this country in order to weld the United States of America to Mexico in a way that is conducive to the North American Union, a combination of Mexico, United States, and Canada in a single economic union. And that's what they want. They want to put so many Mexicans in here, you're not going to be able to do anything about it. And I am unaware of anyone in Congress or in the Senate, and certainly in the White House, who gives a damn about protecting this nation. These people are letting this place be destroyed, and on one level you can't blame them. Because the vast majority of the American people aren't doing anything about it, not even talking about it. This has been allowed to happen. And what should happen, this is treason. This is treason perpetrated by your president and your Congress and your Senate. They are refusing to protect this nation from an invasion by illegal aliens, and they should be charged with treason. Those who are found guilty, light them up. What else? Here's another one from the Islamic State turns to captured women, kids for battlefield blood transfusions. This is just horrific. Has not much, nothing to do with our government. But the Islamic State, while recent airstrikes on the Islamic State group forced the Sunni radicals to turn to captured women and children for battlefield blood transfusions. An opposition group named Raqqa is being slaughtered silently. That's their name. Raqqa is being slaughtered silently. Said the airstrikes in Iraq and Syria since Sunday, coupled with a spike in sorties conducted by Jordan, has made the terrorist group, also known as ISIS and ISIL, desperate for blood. They forced Yazidi girls to donate blood to ISIS wounded fighters. Which God allows these acts, said Hamshi, a 19-year-old captive who escaped after she was held for 28 days. A recent UN report concluded that the Islamic State group also uses children as terror funding mechanisms by selling them into slavery. Those who are turned into child soldiers are deemed cubs of the caliphate. Children and minorities have been captured in places where the so-called ISIL has its strength. They've been sold in markets with tags, price tags on them, have been sold as slaves. This is from Anathe Winter, an expert on the UN Commission, Committee on the Rights of the Child, being interviewed by CNN. You know, we listen to this stuff about the Muslim faith as the religion of peace. I think that's a bunch of crap. If there was anybody in the Muslim faith who actually cared about peace, they should be screaming from the top of the mosque that something's got to be done about these crazy SOBs in ISIS. And so far as I'm able to hear, understand, there are plenty of Muslims, we're all filled with peace and joy. Fine. Get up off your dead butt and get after these, I don't know, these guys are medieval. These are the people who burned some guy alive in a cage. Doused him in gasoline and lit him up. And this is the religion of peace? You know, one of the things about the Muslim faith I've talked about, I don't know if I've talked about it on this program or not, but there have been two studies came out of Europe, one in England and one, I believe, in the Netherlands. In the last 18 months, maybe 2 years, where they did a study of the genome, the Muslim genetics. And one of the things that's happened to Muslims is because the Prophet Muhammad married his first cousin. All right? That's a process. That is a relationship that's fundamentally prohibited in the Jewish and Christian faiths. But the Muslim men want to marry their first cousins, and they think this is okay. Well, after doing this for several centuries, emulating the Prophet Muhammad, the net result has been that they've increased the probability of genetic deformations in their children. They've increased the probability of stillbirths for their children. They have lowered their own IQ. There's reports that they don't see in the dark as well as people should be expected. They have, by following the Muslim faith, they have become, in many instances, they have become more prone to mental illness. And I look at that and I say to myself, if this is the one true faith, if Allah is God and he and the Muslims are his people, why has he allowed his people to generate several centuries of inbreeding that has predisposed significant numbers of Muslim people to genetic aberrations, right? I mean, it's one of the things you look at, and from my perspective, this to me is evidence that is almost impossible to get around. If these stories are true, one out of England, another one out of Netherlands, if I recall correctly, the scientific studies calculating the effects of several centuries of inbreeding. If these stories are true, it is an indictment of the Muslim faith. And it's also consistent with some of the stuff they do, putting people in a cage and dousing them with gasoline. It's not just a question of being a Muslim, it's a question of being genetically deprived, diminished, deformed. And if any of you want to become a Muslim, you ought to think about that. Because the same sort of penalty has not been imposed on Christians, and it hasn't been imposed on Jews. There's not a genetic disability that I'm aware of that affects either one of those faiths. In fact, I'm hard-pressed to think of any other faith, certainly significant faith, where we can point to genetic disabilities that are a product of the religion. Be Muslim, become, you know, genetically disabled, leave a wonderful legacy for your children and your grandchildren. Now, I don't mean that it's going to happen. This takes centuries to build up, but it'll take centuries to build down, too. The Muslims aren't going to stop marrying their cousins this year and their first cousins and then discover that these genetic problems are wiped out in the next, you know, year or two. This is with them for centuries. And for me, it's an indictment of their faith. It's evidence. It's very difficult to get around this and say, this is a true faith. So, I don't know. What are you going to do? You know how many books? I've seen one report that's almost incredible. You know how many new books were written by Muslims in the last year? Published, I've heard one report said 5. These people invented algebra. At one point in time, they were brilliant. Now they don't read anything but the Quran. We have a problem here. Let's take a break for our commercials, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, ranting about the government, the Muslims. Who else do I have to rant about today, Melody? Do you have any idea?
Well, I just got in.
In the mood. I guess it has something to do with Friday the 13th. You know, it's just...
Well, let's go. Let's move on about Ukraine and Russia. And I just got a information in, and I like Lyndon LaRouche. They have an extraordinary research department. And, I mean, the guy is brilliant. Their researchers are brilliant. And they always do bring something to the table. So they were talking to a Jack Matlock. He's a former Reagan ambassador to the Soviet Union. And a month ago, he wasn't concerned about any dangers of a nuclear war between the USA and Russia. But after yesterday, after the U.S. plans to arm and train the Ukrainian Nazis, he warned a D.C. audience that that is exactly what he's concerned about, that danger. And LaRouche then went on. And they said, with the ceasefire agreement reached yesterday between Putin, Hollande, Poroshenko, and Merkel, the real question remains, will Europe and the world plunge into general war, or will a genuine alternative be achieved? What drove this extremely fragile agreement was the recognition by some in Europe that the world is on the cusp of a world war. The issue is war or no war. The French are breaking out of the war momentum. Some in Germany are a little shaky and aligning with the French. One way or the other, the outcome of war or no war will shape a whole new process globally. And the fact that is being ignored is that the entire drive for wars because London and Wall Street are in a panic over the bankruptcy of their entire system.
Yeah.
There is nothing that can be done to save the empire system. They are at a point where that system is either replaced altogether or we plunge into general war or general chaos. And the bankruptcy of the London Wall Street system is the key to everything. And it's a short article. It says the Saudis are an extension of that British Empire system. And the chaos and dark age genocide that we're seeing in the Middle East is just the extension of what the British and Wall Street have in store for the entire planet, unless, you know, that they're stopped. They can see in the stonewalling against the debt forgiveness for the Greek people who have been subjected to horrible suffering. These people would rather destroy the planet than lose their system and lose their power. This agreement yesterday is in jeopardy of being sabotaged and turned into a trigger for general war. Obama is just a patsy for the British, but under these circumstances, the patsy factor is significant. And I will put this in our newsletter this week. The fight in Europe over the future of the British Empire, centered on Greece and demands for the continuation, it's going to have a big blowback into the United States. And anyone that believing that the British system will survive on the basis of either kicking Greece out of the euro or forcing Greece to bend to the Troika is insane. It is the entire system that is bankrupt beyond repair. Either there is a total orderly shutdown of Wall Street and London, or there will be war chaos. Wall Street is in jeopardy, that extends to the GOP. The empire system is collapsing. And the danger is the plunge into chaos, as they saw or as we saw in Europe during the Dark Ages. And goes on a little bit more of how you can sign a petition in order to, you know, send on to Congress and so forth and, you know, to try to stop. And it's.
I agree with what he's saying in a kind of a general sense that we are on the verge of something. But my recollection, and I haven't read his material for years, I was never a follower per se, but he is fixated on the idea, Lyndon LaRouche is fixated on the idea,
Brits.
If I recall correctly, that there's something going on with the Queen of England and Britain in general, and they are at the core of all the trouble that might be going on in the world, and that they still wield extraordinary power. Far more than you expect from the size of England. You know, England is only about the size of, I don't know, a couple of small states here in the United States. It's not a big place. And it really doesn't have the kind of influence. There was a time when maybe it did. I don't see the problem as with England. I see the
London is still the financial hub of the world.
I get
not
that.
Not England or, you know, not the Queen,
right,
so to speak.
With that.
They're figuring
it.
London is big.
Yeah, it is big financially.
It is the
all
center.
Right? And this is what I'm saying. The collapse that Lyndon LaRouche is talking about and describing as potentially close at hand, I see that as a collapse of the fiat monetary system. He sees it as a collapse of the English monarchy and whatever else, however he ties things to England. I disagree with him in that regard, but I do agree that there is something, we are teetering on the edge of something that's certainly dangerous and perhaps catastrophic. We'll watch and see. And knowing a little bit of history, it wouldn't surprise me if the government conjured up some sort of a war that was used as an excuse to cover some sort of dramatic change in our monetary system. If we were so busy, if somebody detonated a nuclear bomb here or there, and everybody was so busy talking about that they even forgot Dancing with the Stars, is, oh my gosh, nuclear bombs. In the midst of that concern, I wouldn't be surprised if that's when the government would, you know, quietly just change the monetary system in a way that was fundamental, contrary probably to our interests. I can't imagine they'd do us any favors. But in the midst of that trauma, they can get more done. They can move in ways that people might complain about during a period of peace, but in real crisis, people are willing to put up with almost anything. So are they going to create a crisis? Are they going to allow a crisis? It's plausible. Are they going to do it? I'm not arguing. I'm not going to predict that it's going to happen. But it's not a completely crazy idea. Is there a 50% probability? I wouldn't say 50%. But there might be 20-25% probability. Yeah. So in any case, that's my deal on Lyndon and his predictions. I think we're describing, we kind of agree in terms of we're sitting on the edge of something big. But he looks at it, and I look at it from two different perspectives.
It's true that he always blamed everything on the Brits, you can't blame everything on the Brits. But I really do believe there is a bigger picture and a group. You can call them what you want: the elite, the Illuminati, those who do control things. And I do believe, these empires—they would create a war, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right to. And but I think the percentages are higher than 20% of a war.
Even so,
I think that's an awfully low percentage.
Well, maybe so, but if you're talking nuclear war, that's a big time threat. It's not 20% probability that someone's going to, you know, fire some spitballs, you know, at the White House. We're not talking about that. If we're talking about nuclear war, 20% probability is a big number. We can speculate on the number. Somebody else say it's 5%. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Nuclear war is a big thing. All right. That's as big as it gets. And, you know, even a chance in 20. Dangerous business. You know, it's like playing Russian roulette. You get a cylinder that's got six. You get a six. You get a revolver that's got six chambers in the cylinder. And you got one bullet in the six. Well, you got a chance in six. The odds are in your favor. But if it comes up, you're putting that gun at your head and you've got the bullet there, guess what? You're going to have a very bad hair day. If you've got a bigger revolver and it's got 20 chambers in the cylinder, and there's one bullet in there, but it's a nuclear bullet, the odds are still in your favor, but if you hit the nuclear bullet, It doesn't just scatter your brains around. It scatters everybody's brains who are within several miles of where you're standing. It's a whole different level of threat. Is it realistic to suppose that we're ready to do nuclear war? And I have a hard time believing that, because somebody's got to be just flat out of their minds. They're really thinking that. They've got to be crazy. Just satanic, whatever. They are just off the scale and don't even qualify as men and women anymore. They're something just almost incomprehensible. Who supposes that we can fire nuclear missiles at Russia and they aren't going to land any nuclear missiles back here? Or vice versa? Russia going to fire nuclear missiles at us and they don't expect to have any come back? I mean, it's crazy. It really is mutually assured destruction. It is mad. It's hard to imagine. There's an article here from Veterans Today, and it's entitled Pravda: Putin Threatens to Release Satellite Evidence on 9/11. Analysts believe that Russia is preparing. This was in Pravda originally. It was reprinted again in Veterans Today. Russia is preparing the release of evidence of the involvement of the U.S. government and intelligence services in the 9/11 attacks from 2001. The list of evidence allegedly includes satellite images. They go on and expand on this, but the argument is that Putin has put, he has been fairly docile in his response to the sanctions that have done significant damage to his country. And he didn't start this. The United States started this. by overthrowing the existing Ukrainian government a little over a year ago. Putin doesn't start this. He was surprised. He was having Winter Olympics. And our government overthrew the Ukraine government, or participated in that overthrow. And Putin has been playing catch-up ever since. They are suggesting, they're not suggesting that he's going to launch any nuclear weapons, but they are alleging that he actually has evidence as to who was truly responsible for 9/11, and he's prepared to release it. And this is coming from Pravda, so in theory, it's a government leak. Is it true? Is it false? Does he really have that evidence? Is the evidence true? Is it a hoax, like somebody's birth certificate? Well, I don't know. But it would certainly be, this came out several days ago, earlier this week. It's probably, the story probably goes back to about Monday or so. But it would be the kind of event, if you push somebody far enough, he's not going to go nuclear, but he might just tell the truth about what happened on 9/11. And if he could prove what a lot of people suspect happened, there would be some changes made in this country. What's the value of the Patriot Act and all the laws that followed and our headlong plunge into fascism in this country? What's the value of that if it turns out that our own government was complicit in the loss of the World Trade Center and the bombing and the explosion at the Pentagon? What is, what are we going to do with those laws? How are we going to justify them? Can we keep them? What happens if we lose them? The article is sitting back. This article is saying, look, Putin's had it. He's been pushed about as far as he's going to go, but it's alleging he's simply going to tell the truth about 9/11 rather than go nuclear. So what's going to happen, Melody? You got your crystal ball? Are we going to learn the truth about 9/11? Is it going to be a publicized issue, or shall we just bomb them all and, to heck with it?
Well, if he really did have the information and that he really was going to release it, certainly, they'll keep him from doing so or trying to do so. Would have to have some hard evidence. If he didn't have that hard evidence, people just wouldn't believe.
Well, it's not necessarily everyone has to believe. This story came out just before they were starting to negotiate another round of ceasefire in Ukraine, and this may have been just leverage. Maybe that he never intended to actually release this information, but he said, hey, I got pictures of you and the goat. You understand? We're going to broadcast them unless you cooperate and get out of Kiev. And it may be that without releasing them, he can still use them as leverage. So you can look at it, you speculate, and what's the truth of the matter? Don't know. That's part of, that's what we said at the beginning of the program. Hard to find out what the truth is.
Coincidences, though. In fact, there was a reporter who interviewed Snowden. He just died suddenly.
The reporter?
The reporter did. I don't have the whole story in front of me, and I didn't get into the details, but it was a recent interview of Snowden. He died shortly thereafter, is my understanding of it. So,
okay, don't get me to interview Snowden then. We're going to have to leave that for another time. I'm not going to interview Snowden. I may talk about him, but I'm not going to interview him.
That's why we're out of time. Interviews on this program.
We're out of time, and this is Friday, so we'll be back Friday the 13th, and despite that number, we're still going to be back on Monday, unless, of course, we go to nuclear war or Putin releases information on 9/11. But barring the unforeseen, we'll be here on Financial Survival. Hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.